Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the magnificent Monday edition of the Yard. We're a little earlier than usual. I know you guys enjoy that, and I am happy to bring it to you. It's been a productive few days. It's one of the things, too, like with so much baseball travel, guys, when I'm home, I just want to be home, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like, and then when I get home, there's things I got to do, and there's sometimes I don't want to do them. And so stuff kind of piles up a little bit. Then you get home for a little while and you're like, okay, I've got time to work on this stuff. And there's always a list of honeydew stuff. And I'm not going to sit here and act like that I get nagged. I don't. I never get nagged, ever. But the reality of it is sometimes things get away from you a little bit and you start feeling a little bit overwhelmed, right? I mean, you know how it goes. I mean, you know, it's like, oh, I need to do this. And then you're like, oh, I need to do that. And you get a whole list of stuff together. And it's like, oh, my gosh. And you get to the end of the day, and it's like, I didn't get any of this stuff done. So over the weekend, got some things done. The wife told me, we put a new TV up about a year ago. We had a big living room TV that we never used. It was huge. When the kids were here, my son was gaming all the time. It was used quite extensively. But it just kind of sat there. And so we moved it upstairs, and when we did, we like took this armoire down, this two-piece armoire, and then she decided in our advanced age that we needed these adjustable beds, which I was kind of against, to be honest with you, in the beginning. But now that I have it, I kind of like it. I kind of like being able to sit up in bed. We don't use the dining room, so, and we rarely use the living room. Basically, I'm in my office or I'm in the bedroom, so we decided just to, hey, let's just make the bedroom something cool. And but anyway, we had some stuff just that needed to get moved down, you know, and to give us a little more space. And she goes, you know, pretty soon we need to, you know, take that armoire down and get the old mattress and box springs out of there. Because it's a shame that we live with all that stuff around us. But anyway, it's just us. We don't entertain. And but anyway, so like yesterday, I had things I wanted to get done. And had some trash outside and things around the house. Just need to kind of declutter a little bit. And the more I did, the better I felt. You know, it just helps you mental health-wise to kind of declutter. It just does. And also gives you a sense of purpose and also, too, of accomplishment. And so the more I did, the better I felt. And I was like, okay, well, that's enough for today. And then I thought, well, you know, she's not going to be home for a couple more hours. What if I got, like, that mattress and box spring out of here? Well, I didn't get the mattress, just to confess. I got the box spring and the slats and all that good stuff. Put it down in the spare bedroom that we don't use anymore. It was Audrey's room. Don't tell her. And then I was like, well, hey, I think I can get the top of that armoire down there. And so I did that and got in a little bit of a jam getting that thing downstairs. And you got to make that turn right at the door to go out. And I said, well, I could just leave it here and wait for her to get home. But that kind of defeats the purpose of doing it. Right, guys? Right? So I got it done. And what's so funny is she came home and she was talking to me, like looking over her shoulders. And so she walks right by this great space that I have now created in the room. And she didn't even notice. Not her fault. She was talking to me. And so we're sitting there and she's like, oh, I'm so glad you did all the stuff today. And I said, yeah, you don't even know all I did. And she goes, hey, did you do all the laundry? Well, yeah, I did. I did all the laundry. So everything that I own, other than the clothes that I'm wearing, are clean, folded, put away. Love that. Love that. But she said, did you do this? And did you do that? I said, yeah, I did this. And I got that trash from, you know, the downstairs bathroom and everything up here. Got everything all bagged up, ready to go to the road. And she goes, oh, that's great. I said, but there's more. And I didn't say anything. Eventually, she saw it. She's like, oh, my gosh, how in the world did you get that armoire out of here? That's the best part of being a husband, right? You know what? You know it is, right? When you know it's something that they want done and need done and you just kind of take care of it without them asking. Just kind of mentioned one day, hey, we need to do this, and you do it. So today, your boy feels great. A lot less clutter around me. And if you're a person that's feeling a little bit overwhelmed, let me tell you, nobody's coming to do it for you, okay? I'm just laying it out there for you. They're not going to come do it for you. Nobody's just sitting around waiting for you. But it's so funny, you know, running two businesses, you know, sometimes you just don't have time for all that stuff. You got to make time to do it. And you'll feel so much better about yourself when you get some things done, whether it's working in the yard or whatever. And I can tell you, working in the yard is one of my least favorite things to do. Dana loves working in the yard. It's not my thing. But sometimes I've got to get out there and do it and just kind of soldier through it. And she's so good about saying, oh, don't worry about that. I'll get that. But I don't feel good about it. So let me encourage you in these summer months to get some summer projects done and just to kind of declutter. There's so much stuff around us that we don't need. And there's so many things. Like she tells me sometimes I'm a hoarder. I'm not. But I've got some things that are important to me and some things that I've collected over the years that I'm going to keep. But yeah, we could all use a little more organization. So let me encourage you as your friend to declutter the household this summer. Just do it. And there's so many clothes in that closet that you're never going to wear. You know it, right? And so go donate it to a Goodwill store or something like that and give somebody else the chance, or go donate it to the Teen Challenge group. There's all these little boxes around. Some people, of course, want to supplement their income and sell it on Facebook. I guess you can do that stuff too. But the reality of it is, whether you sell it for profit or you donate it for charity, it goes to a good cause, and there's somebody out there that would love to have the clothes that you're not wearing. So let me encourage you, let's clean out the closets this summer. And then we can go reward ourselves at Bulldog Burger Company. It's always a reward when I go or we get it to go. And we do get it to go most of the time because either I go eat with her at the spa or we bring it home. They have kind of mastered the to-go order. A lot of places out there, you get it to go, and then next thing you know, you just got a big mess, right? You're going to start unpacking stuff, and it's something's missing, something spilled over, and it's just never a good thing. But not with Bulldog Burger Company. They do such a great job. So if you're looking for lunch or looking for dinner and you got to get it to go, think Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. It's true. They make you and everybody around you better looking, and we all need more of that. Make it part of your beauty care regimen. Find your own favorites on that very extensive menu. It's one of the things I love about going in there. It's always a little something different. Some days I'll get, Smash Burger, which I'm on right now. Right? That's my thing. And I'll get the macaroni with pork belly in it, or I'll get fries, or I'll get sometimes onion rings. I mean, you just never know. I'm a riddle wrapped inside of an enigma. You just never know what I'm going to do, right? And you can be unpredictable too, because there's so many options there. It doesn't matter if it's a burger or that great BLT salad. I prefer it grilled. You may like it fried. I'm not judging. No matter how you get it, I recommend the ranch dressing. And then you get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right. Big recruiting weekend for Mississippi State. We're going to run that back for you. Just to kind of let you know, in case you missed it, because I know we've got so much going on, and there are a lot of people not really engaged. When it comes to high school recruiting, a lot of people are like, Steve, that's great. We'll wait till December. And I get that. And there are other people are like, well, why should I fall in love with these high school recruits when they may be in the portal a year or 2 years from now? The thing that I would say is I support every student athlete here at Mississippi State as long as they're wearing the uniform, and many of them after they're done wearing the uniform. But I share that with you because I think it's important. So we ended up with 9 official visitors. Stanley Peters Jr. did not make the trip. If I had to call it today, I would say he's probably headed to Arkansas. That's what I feel today. So we'll see how that plays out. But anytime an in-state kid cancels a visit to Mississippi State, it's never a great thing. Yeah, it's never a situation where you think things are going to work out later. It just doesn't always work out that way, right? The Braylon Womacks of the world, those are few and far between. Kelsey Adams, we've got recaps of 7 of the 9 visitors. We hope to have the other 2 today. I'm not as optimistic about Kelsey Adams. He didn't do a ton of media. But I understand that things went well with him, and there is a possibility that he may be back before the dead period for another unofficial visit. You got to like that, right? The guy takes the visit and then plans to come back before the season. Now, the dead period is going to start here pretty soon, so he's got to do it fairly quickly. But you love that aspect of it. And again, we hope to talk to him. He was set to visit Auburn this coming weekend. I'm told that visit is off. And, you know, we'll see, right? Because, you know, Auburn may incentivize him to take that visit. And ultimately, he will follow through. But committed to Georgia, but there's a lot of chatter out there that it's a very, very soft commitment and that he actually may have decommitted and not gone public with it. It's a massive offensive tackle at 6'5", 293. So if you watch his film, I think you'll be excited about him. So State still in the game there. Kyron Caldwell, I spoke to him and personally. Very, very articulate young man, very confident in his abilities, but not confident, not cocky, right? It's not, there's some guys you talk to and like they need a reality check. Kyron Caldwell seems to be a very well-balanced individual. He is going to announce his decision on July the 11th between Maryland, Alabama, and Mississippi State. He will visit Alabama this weekend. He said that Mississippi State did a great job with him, making him feel like a priority, that they feel like he would be a great fit for their system and the system a great fit for him. 6'1", 175-pound wide receiver. He will play on the outside. He says State talks about moving him some in the slot to get him paired up with a safety. But, yeah, that's, again, maybe something to watch. I would lean more towards Alabama today. Speaking of Alabama, Jalen Hill from Lynette, Alabama, offensive tackle. He is another guy that's planning to take all of his visits. He will see Missouri this coming weekend. Of the young men that I spoke to this past weekend, I don't know that any were better spoken than Jalen Hill. You can tell he is a very intelligent young man. You can tell he is a very polite young man. He's the kind of guy that you send up to the podium in postgame to talk about a difficult game, right? Very impressed with this young man. I haven't watched his film yet, but he is a guy that is rated as an 86. But if you look at his offer sheet, the ranking doesn't match the options, right? And that's important to understand. Probably a guy that could see some elevation in his rating between now and signing day. He said he got all of his questions answered by the Mississippi State staff. He feels very comfortable with the opportunities that he would have at Mississippi State. And so that's just kind of one to watch. And he's a guy that hadn't set a firm decision date, but shares that he will make it probably late June, early July. Judah Gums, an offensive tackle out of Armwood in Florida. Another guy, kind of a soft-spoken guy, but had a great visit, Mississippi State. And clearly he's excited about this process, and he is still kind of working things through. But I feel like State's in it. But, you know, I feel like we have to get an offensive tackle. And it's interesting as you kind of work through this. I mean, that's three offensive tackles. Obviously, Adams, I think, is the best of the three. And Hill and Gums are probably comparable. Their rating reflects that. But I think it's one of those deals, too, when you begin to think about, you know, size, strength. That could be a factor in all of this. But you got to get them, and you got to get it all figured out. And so that's our rundown of our undeclared prospects from the weekend. Because, again, we had nine, and now of those nine, five of the nine are committed to Mississippi State. Let's get into those now. As noted, four new commitments. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. And for some, summer is their favorite season of the year. Travel picks up, kids are out of school, adventure becomes a focus. For others, juggling it all can be tough. It could be overwhelming. Then they start counting down the minutes until the kids are back in school. And you feel like you're wasting all these days of beautiful sunshine. We plan to get out and have some fun as a family too, but we plan to thrive and not just survive. Therapy can help people better understand their needs and feel more confident setting boundaries and create a version of summer that actually feels good. BetterHelp has over 30,000 therapists. It is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct, and they are fully licensed in the United States. The reality of it is you need to learn how to say no. You don't have to say yes to everything. Take advantage of BetterHelp and take charge of your summer. You don't have to say yes. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. It's from the weekend, and we'll start. Okay, Julian McDonald goes by Juju McDonald. He actually committed to Mississippi State back on the 8th, which was last Monday. He didn't commit over the weekend. He committed last Monday. We had a story on that, but apparently that was news to some. But he is one of the five, not a new commitment. But the day got started with the commitment of Aiden Coleman. He put it out bright and early yesterday morning, and we certainly appreciate that. And listen, we love to break news, but I also understand these young people that empower themselves to break their own news. And that was the case with Aiden Coleman. And he was a guy, too, that we've been covering for quite some time. But it's interesting, you know, he said, hey, it just simply feels like home at Mississippi State. Got, you know, several offers to pull to choose from. And we probably will have to update that throughout the year. But he has an offer from Alabama, and he has a visit set for them this weekend. Not sure if that happens. Not sure if it's anything to worry about. He also has an offer from Ole Miss. Did not visit there. And then South Al, Jacksonville State, Western Kentucky, Alcorn, Nichols, and JSU. I guess he doesn't have an offer from JSU. I'm sure he could have one if he wanted one. But, yeah, so you beat out a couple of SEC programs there, and hopefully that proves to be the case where he sticks with us. But he is a very impressive linebacker that came to camp 2 weekends ago. Jacob Bain had the coverage there for us, and we were in Athens. But, you know, he was one of those players that was on the radar and elected to come camp and compete and ultimately earns the offer from Mississippi State, and then locks it down this weekend. Shortly thereafter, we got news of Kevante Pitts, defensive back out of East Nashville Magnet School. We hope to speak to him today. I have traded some messages with one of his coaches. He was set to visit Memphis this coming weekend. We don't expect that to happen. But we'll confirm that with him. He has a baker's dozen offers. Of course, Mississippi State, Memphis, Arkansas State, East Carolina, Charlotte, Austin Peay, East Tennessee State, Eastern Kentucky, Illinois State, Lindenwood, North Alabama, UT Martin, and West Georgia. And you look at that and say, you know, Steve, we're the only Power Four offer. I think he is a guy that is a bit of a developmental piece. But also, too, I think he is one of those guys, when you watch his film, that you'll kind of ask yourself a little bit, where's everybody else? Why doesn't he have more options? Well, again, you know, maybe he's a two deeper to go. You know, we'll see. But happy to have him as part of the group. And watched his film, I guess, Friday, and was a little confused. You know, you ask yourself, what do we not know, right? Yoshan Hudson from Winona. Really, really like him. Really like him a lot. Had a chance to watch him in person last year against Grenada. Didn't know anything about him. He had been a defensive back much of his career and had a huge game against Grenada. And Hudson will be one of the best running backs in the state this year. We talked about the, quote, big three this year, and its state needed to get one of the big three. Well, we did. And now we've added to that. And this is a guy, again, it's a little bit of a late bloomer. He really kind of made himself as a junior. And he's just a football player. He's a guy that can help you in multiple spots if you need to. He had talked a little bit about delaying the announcement and taking a visit to Texas State. We don't expect that trip to happen. And if it does happen, we're not worried about it. But he has offers from Cincinnati, Houston, Wisconsin, Arkansas State, Georgia State, Memphis, Southern Miss, Louisiana, Tulane, UNLV, Jackson State, and Samford. So kind of a mixed bag there, but you've got some Power Four stuff mixed in there. And this is a guy, just turn the tape on, right? That's the way I always look at it. You don't have to take my word for it. Just watch his film, and I think you'll be very, very pleased with what you see. Working back through this, you know, the final commitment of the day actually happened earlier in the weekend, but he announced it yesterday evening, and it's Mississippi State legacy, Nash Morgan. Now, I got a text. I'm almost positive it was Brett. I think it was Brett that hit me up and said, "Hey, man, can you help Nash?" And this is back when really nothing was going on with him. And the next thing you know, he goes out and wins a state championship. And I remember walking away from that Warren Central Hattiesburg game, because Hattiesburg may have had the most talent on the field of any game that we saw last year when it came to the state championships at Davis-Wade. I mean, they were absolutely loaded with talent. And I don't know that Warren Central was. I don't think the more talented team won that game. I think perhaps the better coach team did, or at least the better team that executed did. Because the folks at Hattiesburg do a great job developing players. They wouldn't have been playing for a state championship if they weren't well coached. But Warren Central just seemed to have found some things that they could exploit. And Nash Morgan played both ways for the first time in his career. And I walked away and I thought, Mississippi State has to offer this kid. We absolutely have to offer this guy. Took a while, but eventually we got it done. He comes to camp, showcases himself, and now here we are, right? But offer some Air Force, Army, Navy, UNLV, Central Arkansas, Harding, and Nichols, right? And those were kind of the starters. But what's interesting, people ask, well, what's he going to play? Well, I can't say I know for sure. He's worked out some at safety. But, you know, if Dan Mullen wants him as a quarterback, I might have to think about it a little bit, right? He has some Nick Fitzgerald qualities and is a very, very talented player and a very, 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 very mature and humble young man. And you love that. You love those attributes. But that brings Mississippi State's commitment total to 14. And as we discussed last week, you'll probably grow into the 20s this week, and I expect this class to end up around two dozen to 25 high school players, maybe a JUCO player in there or two. But, so far, the batting average, pretty good from the weekend, right? You look at that first weekend, we had 9, and I'm looking here, 6 of those 9 have committed. One of those was Jalen Kello that committed to state. But a handful of others still out there, Jason Lewis, DeJean Yarborough, and Frederick Ford. And Frederick Ford is a big-time player. Noah Reynes, as we mentioned last week, would probably commit to Georgia Tech. He did. And so that's always a part of all of this. It's just one of those things, you just kind of work through it. You just kind of work through it and then kind of see where the chips fall. But again, you could end up adding a couple more players from this past weekend, but it was a very successful weekend for Mississippi State. Now, looking ahead to this week, and we'll have to confirm some visits with some of these players because some guys have committed to other state schools, out-of-state schools too. And so that may impact. I think we'll probably have 15 or 16 this week. Last week, it was around 21, 22. But some guys have kind of rotated off there. But it will be an interesting weekend as we bring in really a lot of the in-state kids that will probably feel a little bit like a team meeting. And we'll preview more of that this weekend. You can follow our coverage over at jeanspage.com. If you haven't subscribed and taken advantage of the 60% off special, it ends tonight at midnight Eastern. So 11:59 Eastern, that's going to end. 60% off the annual subscription price. And again, that helps you with baseball portal coverage and things of that nature. All of that incredibly important. And that's a good time, right, to jump aboard because that gets you all the way into the College World Series next year, which will be right around the time you'll need to renew. But, but looking at this, what we know of the commitments, Christian Alexander, incredible running back from Rosa Fort. We'll go see him early in the year this year. He's coming in this weekend. LaMarcus Jones, who committed to Colorado, not committed to state yet. We still feel like the Bulldogs are in a good spot there. We'll see how things progress. Trey Collins, former Ole Miss commitment, decommitted the day that Lane Kiffin announced he was going to LSU. Had a chance to see him play last year against Canton. And he and Jaden Krashen paired up a couple times. And Trey's a guy, again, that is an interesting player. Saw him at the spring scrimmage, too. Tight end Sutton Gutting out of Riverdale High School in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, will be in town. Brandon Allen, who has kind of been well-traveled since making the commitment to Mississippi State, now he says he's going to make a final decision on July 4th. His last visit will be this weekend. And so that's going to be kind of like, that couldn't have set up better. But he was in Tennessee this past weekend. And even though he has maintained his commitment, he has not behaved like a committed player. So that's something you got to watch. And then Devontae Brewer, of course, from Tupelo, committed to Stanford, was kind of a surprise. I think in the end, State gets him. Javarius Griffin, State still having to fight Duke and Manny Diaz off a little bit there. We'll see how that goes. Caleb Unger, of course, will be here. But another good group of prospects. But, you know, again, we'll focus kind of on the uncommitted guys, and we'll update this visit list for you before we get together on Wednesday. We'll reach out just to kind of make sure who's coming and who's not to ensure that we have everything correct at jeanspage.com. But you guys, too, can be, you know, apprised of where things sit and kind of how things go. And so you begin to ask yourself, okay, where are we? Well, we got work to do, right, in the rankings. This class is just inside the top 50 with 14 commitments. Seven of those 14 are from the great state of Mississippi. And so we do expect to have double-digit commitments from the home state. And that's been, you know, the first year of the Levy experience. It wasn't a great year in-state. Last year it was, and we struggled at times to get some big-time players. But the breakdown right now is seven from Mississippi, three from Tennessee. Of course, Riverdale High School, if they're being very good to Mississippi State, one from Alabama, one from Georgia, one from Louisiana, and one from Texas. And so that's where things sit. And but again, we got work to do. And as it sits right now, State just has one four-star. You got two players, Yoshan Hudson and Caleb Unger, that are right there on the cusp. Yoshan is a 247 composite four-star. And I think the film certainly validates that. And I think Javarius Griffin maybe a tad underrated too. He is explosive. And one of the great things about all these in-state kids is we will have the opportunity to go and see them play. And of course, as we make our way to Columbia, South Carolina, what we will likely do, because of the fact we have multiple commitments from Riverdale High School and we're expecting one more, we'll probably go check them out on our way to Columbia, South Carolina. That's the plan. So we're going to get out and try to go see as many of these guys that we can. You know, we will make a trip back to Texas this year. So hopefully, you know, Texas is a big state, right? Huge state. So perhaps we'll get a chance to go see Joe and Kello. It just kind of depends on how it goes. But our plan is to get out and go see these guys. And, you know, Zion Wesley from Edna Carr out of New Orleans, that works out well with our LSU trip. So we'll get out, try to get you fresh video and some great pictures and, of course, some comments from players and coaches alike. But, yeah, a lot of balance in the class, but it is a little bit defensive back heavy right now. I don't know if it's going to be like a straight 22, right, if you take a guy for every position. Because, in fact, we're not losing a ton, especially on offense. So I think you may be getting close to being done on offense and maybe you spend a little more time on the defensive side of the football. We've got to get some defensive linemen. But we have currently six defensive backs, and that'll be interesting to kind of see how it plays out. But, you know, we are losing some players on the back end, obviously. But as you begin to kind of work through this, you begin to understand that there's a lot of opportunities here for Mississippi State to improve the talent level, but also to maybe make a run towards the top 25. And, again, I think it's a good year in-state, maybe not a great year in-state, but we've got to have a great weekend this weekend and get some of these in-state prospects in the boat that we've been chasing for a little while. And I think, you know, again, the kind of the esprit de corps of the weekend, having so many guys in-state, on campus that know each other, they end up kind of recruiting themselves. And so having some commitments here, I think we'll do a great job just kind of helping Mississippi State sell itself when you've got guys that want to play together. You're like, hey, let's go do this thing together. Let's go do something great. And you hear about this all the time. There is some influence. There is some, you know, peer pressure of a positive nature in some respects. We see it all the time. But the reality of it is Mississippi State has work to do, but they have spots and room to do it with. And so that's where we sit. That's where things stand. And we'll again, update you throughout the week on the any additions or subtractions from the visit list. And if you want to go keep up with it, you can do so for free. Gene's page, just go click on the football recruiting tab and then scroll down to official visits. And again, we will update that as we get new information. All right, time now for today's top 10 list, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. His phone number is 601-500-2344. Save that number in your phone because you never know when you may need it. Save it in a mortgage guy. You may forget the name. You won't forget the need. Blair is a mortgage professional, 25 years in the game. Nobody stays in an industry like that by accident for 25 years. That's the name, closewithblair.com. He can get you to the closing table when so many others can't. He knows how to construct loans to give you the best chance for approval. Maybe you've been turned down in the past. Maybe you just weren't ready, or maybe you had the wrong loan originator. If you're not ready, Blair can get you on a path to get you ready. And we've had several Boneyard listeners that have closed loans with him. You could be next. Again, 601-500-2344. Get his expertise and know-how working for you today. Whether it's your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, or perhaps that game day condo you've always wanted, Blair is the only name to know. Licensed to practice in multiple states. Be sure and hit him up today. Okay, it's Father's Day week. And so a lot of you dads, you're gonna get socks. You're gonna get maybe a tie. And maybe you need those things. Maybe you want those things. I'm not judging. I don't want those things. I'm just putting it out there. So if you're thinking about getting me a Father's Day gift, I don't want socks. And it's so funny. I've seen the videos out there, like, you know, mom gets like brunch and all these special gifts. And then the son's like walking out of the house and he like throws a pair of socks at his dad and says, Happy Father's Day. You know, that's typically how it goes. And I don't know why it is that way. But let's make dad feel special. So all week long, we're going to do a top 10 series of songs about dad. It may be advice from dad to a child. It could be just a remembrance of dad. So that's our focus, and we're going to do different genres all week. We're doing rock today. We're going to do country on Wednesday, and on Friday we're going to do what they used to call urban, but we'll go more R&B, or, you know, that's what we're going to do. So there's going to be a list for everybody. And listen, for those of you that maybe are not in contact with dad, or maybe maybe you're not in good graces with dad, maybe it's your fault, maybe it's not. Maybe you've decided to go no contact. I would encourage you to find a way to forgive, right? And not everything can be forgiven. I understand that. But forgiveness is a gift you give yourself. And I can tell you, I wish my dad were here. I do. He missed so much, and he died at 57, which still just blows my mind as I approach 54. But it's one of those things that you begin to think about in life because you feel like dad's always going to be there. And I can tell you that the main thing that I miss from my dad is just the chance to pick up the phone when I'm navigating through something in life that could be a little bit difficult and have his counsel. You know, you lose access to all that wisdom. And I remember when my dad was really sick, Sylvester Croom told me something I've never forgotten. He said, Steve, in these final days, listen to your dad, because the wisdom that he shares with you in his final days will sustain you the rest of your life. And that's true. That's really been the case. And he's been gone a long time now. But I think about him every single day. Something will happen and I'll think, man, I wish I could call dad. Or something will happen and I'll think, man, daddy would be so pleased with this. And there are other times I know he'd probably be disappointed in how some of us may have acted. But I love my dad and I look forward to seeing him again someday. And so I share that with you from somebody who has lost a parent. And I can tell you, you don't know how unstable that'll make you for a while. Just because of the fact, it's like you don't have, you know, you don't have a rudder on the boat for a bit. You have to kind of figure out how to paddle for yourself. You can't rely on dad any longer, or mom for that matter. Thankfully, I still have my mom, and a great stepdad, don't get me wrong. But the reality of all of it is that we need them, right? Mm-hmm. We need them to, we need them to kind of impart some knowledge to us, to kind of help us pass down those lessons to the next generation. And there are so many times, especially with my boys, that I've shared lessons learned from my dad with them. And I think that's the best way of keeping his memory alive, and to ensure that the lessons that he taught me didn't fall on deaf ears. And my girls too. I mean, there's things about work. My dad was an incredible worker, and that's where I get it from. People tell me, man, Steve, you've got, this is an incredible work ethic, and I am very appreciative of that. But yeah, I love what we do. And that's one of the things too, people come up to me that work with my dad at Farmers Home Administration and said, man, Freddie would be so proud of you, Steve. And that means so much, right? I love hearing those stories. But one of the things that I shared with my girls was just really about, you know, having the opportunity, of course, to be somewhat independent, you know, to not be reliant on other people. And, you know, you never know when something happens in life and you're going to have to kind of pick yourself up by your bootstraps, pardon the pun, the euphemism, I guess, but that's the reality of life. Sometimes you've got to go do it yourself, or it's not going to get done. And listen, there's so many people out there that are content to be mediocre, and I didn't raise my children to be mediocre. I didn't. I've tried to pattern the pursuit of greatness for them as best as I can, but I've also been very transparent about failure. Because there's going to be some times in life you're going to want to go do something and you think it's going to be incredible, and it doesn't work out. And it doesn't mean you stop dreaming. And I remember Audrey, after she began to work as a computer engineer, she's a Mississippi State alum and incredibly proud to be a Bulldog. She said, Dad, am I the first engineer in the family? And I'm like, sweetheart, you're two generations removed from poverty. And you know, my dad grew up in a farming family and then went to work for the United States Department of Agriculture with the Farmers Home Administration Division to make life easier and better on farmers in the great state of Mississippi. And so because he was a farmer and came from a farming family, he understood the challenges that they faced. But there's so many incredible memories that I can share, and I'm sure we'll talk about that over the course of the week. But I wish I could talk to him. I do. I really wish that I had I had access to him, but I don't. And one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given me, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, when my dad was struggling and it was apparent that he wasn't going to make it, I was with him in his final moments, and all of his children were, including my two stepsisters, my two half-sisters, and my whole brother. But we don't differentiate, right? It's just the six of us. And we love each other as if we are 100% blood relatives. And my dad never treated any of us any different. He may have doted on Reagan a little bit more, I guess, because she was probably the surprise after he kind of got it right on the marriage side. But at no point did he ever make any of us feel lesser than. And neither did Dolores, for that matter. And I think that's one of those things that's incredible when you think about so many people taking on the responsibility of partnering and raising somebody else's children. And my dad handled that so incredibly well. But I think sometimes when I walk around campus, these are the same sidewalks that my dad walked on. You know, a lot of them, of course, have been replaced by them. But I think this same patch of ground is where my parents lived in marital housing. This same patch of ground is where my dad worked at work study at Mississippi State, and how he drove the street sweeper as part of his work study and worked at the dairy and got a degree in agricultural economics with a minor in animal husbandry. I mean, all that stuff matters to me. you know, it's just so good to be from that kind of work ethic. And so, yeah, I do think my dad would be incredibly proud of what I've been able to do. And I remember the first, like, big article that I wrote in Jean's Page back in 2001. My dad was still working back then. And so many people around the federal building printed out that article to bring to my dad to make sure that he had it. And I got home one day and he showed it to me, you know. And my dad was one of those people that showered us, you know, with words of affirmation. That just wasn't who he was. But he told me he loved me two times in my life that I remember. And the first time that I remember is when I was in rehab. And then the second time is right before he passed away. And so those were not words of idle chatter with him. But he gave them to me when I needed to hear them the most. And so my hope is that you are blessed with a father as incredibly intelligent and articulate and supportive that my dad was. So here we go. Top 10 rock songs about dad. We're going to start with an interesting one. A lot of you guys only know them from Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, but Good Charlotte's been kind of a catchy modern rock radio punk band. But Good Charlotte had a great track called The Story of My Old Man. I never called my dad my old man. I just never done that. Thought it was kind of disrespectful. But anyway, it's an interesting track. I think you'll enjoy it. Number 9, a song that Ozzy Osbourne wrote about his own dad, and it's about 6 minutes, and it's probably a song you don't know quite as well as some others, but it's Junior's Eyes. And I love the bass line in this one. I mean, that just go to work here, right? The rhythm section here is kind of the shining part of the song. And, of course, Ozzy's voice is, you know, incredibly recognizable throughout it. But things were just kind of getting going for Sabbath. And that's a song that he wrote when his dad was very ill. Number 8, a song that it's one of those things I think reminds us about the roles that fathers play in our lives. And I've never been a big U2 guy, but I do respect them. Bono wrote this song about his ailing father. Sometimes you can't make it on your own. And there's some truth in that. Sometimes you need somebody to kind of tell you how life works. I remember when I had an opportunity for a promotion. And it was a transfer. It was going to make me more money, but it was going to require more travel and things like that. Called my dad. I said, what do you think? You know, so he walks me through it and he goes, son, ask for this, ask for that. And I goes, well, I don't want to make them mad. He goes, son, when they're doing the asking, you can ask for whatever you want. All they can do is tell you no. They want you. And if you tell them what it's going to take to get you, then they're more inclined to do it. And I went back in there and I got everything I wanted. Everything. Because of the wisdom of my father. Because I would have been just, you know, happy to have the increase in pay. And but because of the wisdom of my dad, I was able to get a lot more things, right? And that's an important aspect. Like one of the things, like them paying for my health insurance, right? Anything they can give you don't have to pay for is always a great thing. Number 7, Mike Rutherford, after he left Genesis, put together the band Mike and the Mechanics, had a huge song called The Living Years. And it's really about maybe not knowing your dad well, kind of growing up, and then all of a sudden you find out some things about your dad a little bit later. And it's one of the things too, like my dad's retirement ceremony when he retired from Farmer's Home. And he put 30 years in and then worked 3 more basically out of spite. He just said, I'll retire when I'm ready. But he got a letter of appreciation from the NAACP. And it said, you know, on behalf of the grateful African-Americans around the great state of Mississippi, they were able to find housing because of my dad's efforts. And that means an awful lot to me. And I asked him, I said, well, you know, Dad, there's a story, there's a long story about it. But anyway, I asked him, I said, Dad, why didn't you never tell me this? He said, son, a man should never brag about doing the right thing. You just do the right thing because it's the right thing, not because you're going to get praised for it. And there's some truth in that. But The Living Years, from Mike and the Mechanics at number 7. Number 6, from Queen 2. And any time that we can work in the majesty of Freddie Mercury and Queen, we want to. It's Father to Son. And one of the things I love about this one is it's basically an advice column. It's like, you know, sometimes war is necessary, but let's not forget the land we've already claimed, right? It's a big thing, right? And so when you work through that song, you're going to hear some things that may help you. It's kind of simple man-ish, to be honest with you. Like, there's just some words of advice in that song that are very poignant. Number five, and though he kind of went crazy at the end of his life, Cat Stevens wrote a lot of very poignant tracks, including Father and Son. And it's kind of a similar situation. It's like a dad kind of recounting to his son the things that he had learned that will help him in life. Number four, huge hit for Eric Clapton. Huge hit. It's My Father's Eyes. And it's one of those things, too. It's a moment of remembrance. Number three, a track that you may not know, but it's one of my wife's favorite songs of all time, from one of our favorite bands of all time. One of my favorite most modern rock bands, a band called Nothing More. They were based out of San Antonio and Baton Rouge, you know, which is kind of interesting. But it's a great track called Fade In, Fade Out. And it's about watching your father grow old. And that's one of the things he says. Just the other day, I looked at my father, and I saw that he'd grown old. The rivers in his skin, or the canyons in his skin, and the rivers that made him, told a story that I once known. And so that's what it's about. You know, it's like, I have watched you fade in. You will watch me fade out. It is the cycle of life. And it's an incredibly powerful song. And the older that I get, the more that matters. It's like sometimes, like my mom, I know this is a Father's Day segment, but my mom will text me. It always seems like the worst times. And she didn't know what I'm dealing with, right? She has no clue what I'm doing. I'll be in the middle of covering a ball game. And I've got a strict policy about that. I'm covering the game. Right? I do a play-by-play article, and I just don't have time to return a lot of text. But the thing that I reminded myself one day is that one day I'm going to miss that text. At an inconvenient time. I'm going to miss it. And so it doesn't bother me as much, right? I used to like, oh my gosh, she knows what I'm doing. What is she doing? Now I just take time to do it and I just get caught up because one day I'm not going to have her. It's true. Number two, and this was kind of a gateway song for many of you into the band Creed. And shortly after Scott Stapp found out that his wife was pregnant with their first child, he wrote this song with arms wide open. And again, it's advice from a father to a son. And like the part two that always gets to me is when he says, I hope he's not like me, right? I mean, it's like you think about the mistakes you make in life and you don't want to pass those down to your children. You want to break those cycles. And, you know, there are some things about myself that I'm glad that my children have, and there are some things I wish they didn't, right? But a lot of that can be handled with worldly and earthly and lifelong advice and wisdom. You know, you share, hey, this is what I did and this was the consequences of those actions. But number one, and we had to finish with a rocker, right? Jerry Cantrell wrote this song about his dad who was a Vietnam vet. Many of you know it. It's Alice in Chains' Rooster. And Rooster was his dad's nickname in the military. And here they come to snuff the rooster. But he survived it all and came out the other side of it. And so Jerry wrote that one night when he and his dad were not maybe in the best place. Even though his dad was very supportive, Jerry was rebellious. And anyway, he wrote that song and it kind of became kind of a reconciliation. And that's kind of what we're getting at too. Life is short, death is certain. So forgive, forgive, forgive. And if at all possible, just find a way to let bygones be bygones. Let me tell you this, guys, it's so true. There are amends that you are owed that you will never get, ever. And maybe it's a pride thing. Maybe it's somebody that doesn't know how you feel. I'm always a big proponent for speaking your peace. But I think it's one of those deals where at some point you just got to decide, am I going to let this impact my life for the rest of my life? And I would venture to say you probably shouldn't. You know, there are some things that happen. And I'm not saying that we've got to forgive every single thing that happens in our lives, but the reality of it is we at some point you got to move on. You got to move on. And there are some people that are just toxic people and you don't really want them in your life. And it's incredible. You know, And you jump on social media and everybody's toxic these days. Oh, this relationship is so toxic, and there's this and there's that, and there's just a million things. Live and let live, man, and offer forgiveness as often as we expect forgiveness. And that's such a better way to go through life. There are some people, I recently had somebody that I absolutely love. And we were just kind of visiting and catching up. And then this all of a sudden, they said, hey, you know, you did this and it hurt my feelings. And they cried. And it hurt me to see them be upset. I said, I'm so sorry you carried that with you. And now you finally have the opportunity to say something. And I just want you to know, I love you, and I did not mean it the way that you interpreted that. And I'm sorry that I maybe have made you feel lesser than. And there are so many things in life we go through, and we think sometimes that we are completely understood in our words, actions, and deeds when we're not. And so, but because this person, again, who I absolutely adore, had the courage to tell me, then we could get it fixed. We can get it fixed. And I'm a big fan of the awkward conversation. And my wife tells that all the time. She says, I'm so glad you are the way you are, because I always know where things sit with you. And that's not always true. But when something's bothering me and I am having trouble dealing with it, or I need her to explain something to me or to fill in some blanks for me, I will open my mouth. Because I'm not going to live in seething, silent, bitter resentment. I'm just not going to live that way. It's just like pissing down your leg, man. You're the only person that feels it. You're only hurting yourself. So open your mouth, speak your piece, and if you've got beef, let's try to get it fixed. And sometimes what happens is we don't want to say something because we know that we hold some blame in the situation, and we don't want to be reminded of that. We want to volunteer to be the victim. There's so much of that in the world these days. It's always somebody else. And if we're always pointing at the other side, we're never going to grow, because we feel validated in the things and the bitterness that we hold within our hearts. We feel justified in that. And it goes back to one of the first lessons I learned in recovery when Robert P. was my sponsor. And I was very angry. I was very, very angry at the world. And it was everybody else's fault. And I was fussing to him one day about a couple people. And he goes, tomorrow morning when you get up, I want you to say your prayers and you pray to God to give them the things you want for yourself. And I was like, you are out of your mind. Number one, because I believe in God. And I was afraid that he would do it, right? Because I'm a hater at heart. But I began to do it, and I didn't like doing it. And in the beginning, I would do it, and I would just be so incredibly jaded in my approach to my prayer life. And then eventually, the anger began to subside a little bit. And all of a sudden, I began to see those people as humans. Even though they had harmed me, I said, you know, I can get through this. I don't have to let them rent space in my head for free. And so that may be an exercise that you need to partake in. But I wanted to share that. I didn't mean to preach this long, but I do appreciate the positive comments from you guys when we talk about life here on the show. But if you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up my friend, who is also a father, Roy Samanthi, and about to be a grandfather. How about that? Yeah. Dogmatic67, at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67, and you can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle, Dogmatic67. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart. We do. We love them. And one of the reasons we do is because they have the things we want. We're simple people. Like, if you have a bulldog on your gift buying list, just buy him more Mississippi State merch. It'll be a hit. It will be. Don't overthink it. Don't try to get cute. Don't go get the Joe of the Month Club or none of that kind of stuff. Just buy some Mississippi State merch, whether it's apparel, decorative ideas, things to detail out your fan cave, your office, your home, your RV, your pet. You can find it at Campus Bookmart. And, man, service with a smile. Man, they're so great there. There's a lot of people that sell Mississippi State merchandise, but you don't feel like you're dealing with family. Well, you are at Campus Bookmart. You are. And I'd like to offer our condolences to the Brown family as Dr. Joe Brown passed away recently. You know, Carolyn and Kathy and everybody involved. The Brown sisters have been incredible to me over the years, and they laid their father to rest. Many of you had Dr. Brown as a professor years ago, and somebody shared a story with me. Dr. Brown said that he had said something, and a student raised his hand, and he goes, "I don't understand what you just said," and Dr. Brown climbed on top of his desk and just yelled it again. So, funny stuff. But the Brown family has been so incredible to Mississippi State fans over the years. You owe them, in many respects, for their loyalty to you. Visit them next time that you come to town, and if game day is a difficult shopping day for you, visit them on the World Wide Web, courtesy of Al Gore's internet at campusbookmart.net. Use promo code BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. All right, let's take a look back. College World Series still going on. We're having some fun with this. So West Virginia beat Troy 7-5. And a couple of errors in that game that proved to be an issue for Troy. But, yeah, I mean, you know, country road, right? I mean, they got things done. And, again, I said it when it came out. I thought they were the weakest host. But here they are, still playing. On that Friday, Ole Miss and North Carolina also played. You guys watched it, I'm sure, and you were cheering for the Tar Heels, who made some big pitches when they had to. They win that game 6-2. Ole Miss out-hit North Carolina 8-5. But that side of the bracket, that set up a loser's bracket game between Troy and Ole Miss and a winner's bracket game against West Virginia and North Carolina. Those were played yesterday. On the other side of the bracket, day two for them, Oklahoma shelled Alabama 9-0. And how about Skip Johnson and the Sooners? Man, they have really got things going right now. 11-5 was the hit total. Alabama did not score, did not post a real offensive threat. And then Georgia, kind of a wild game here. Very wild game. Georgia had two hits in the first and jumped out to a 4-0 lead. Carson Tinney had a really difficult time. There was a wild pitch, there was a pass ball, and then there was an errant throw to first that allowed them to climb aboard there. But it was a 4-1 ball game into the seventh, and then Georgia got a couple of big hits late. But Georgia with just five hits in the game. And, hey, what can you say about Volchka, right? Volchka with a complete game four-hitter to limit a very good Texas offense to just one. Texas made three errors in the ball game, all of them problematic. But when you only score one run, it's difficult to win. So that sets us up for Monday. And so looking back at yesterday's numbers, the Troy Trojans eliminate Ole Miss. The Rebels, the first team eliminated from the College World Series field. And it's so interesting. People were like, "Yeah, well, Steve, I mean, you know, I'd rather be 0-2 at Omaha than not go at all." You know, I agree. I would much rather go to Omaha and lose than sit at home and watch it. But since we couldn't go, I was very happy to see them go 0-2. And I'm going to tell you something else, too. I'm not going to listen to a lot of this stuff. Well, you guys should be happy for us because we represented the state of Mississippi. Guys, you so poorly represent the state of Mississippi. No. You're not going to have my support. It's not going to happen. And the fact that you need our support to feel good about your accomplishment says a little bit about yourself too, right? When we go to Omaha, we do not care if you guys are pulling for us or not. And we're never going to pull for you. And that's my personal feeling. Anything that's good for Ole Miss is bad for Mississippi State and vice versa. It's a rivalry, and that's perfectly okay. So, yes, we were cheering very hard for Troy, and Ole Miss jumps up 2-0, then Troy ties it. When it got to be 6-2 in favor of Ole Miss, I thought there was going to be trouble. And then Troy cuts it to 6-5. Next thing you know, Troy kind of takes over the ball game. They win it 12-8. They out-hit the Rebels 14-12. Guys, I'm never a fan of bad baseball, even in a win. And I tell you, the part of that game that just absolutely drove me crazy, in the ninth inning, Troy gets runners at first and second with nobody out. And then they don't score. You get back-to-back non-productive outs. It's crazy, right? So you couldn't get a bunt down, and then there's non-productive out. And then there's a pop-up to right to center field, and you can't move the runners, and then there's the third out. And so even in victory, you have some teachable moments. You just simply can't do that. You can never have enough runs in college baseball, ever. You can never have enough runs. Of course, both teams committed errors in the big walk for Hunter Elliott, and he should be a doctor by now, as long as he's been at Ole Miss. And listen, we respect him, but he hadn't had a great year, and left with the lead yesterday, but did not have a great performance. Of course, that balk was very important, and you know the drop pop fly was important. But I turned the game off, and I went to the spa, and I had people say, "Hey, are you enjoying this Ole Miss meltdown?" And I was like, "Hey, let's put the game on because I haven't seen it." But and then last night in a nightcap, North Carolina beats West Virginia. North Carolina looks really clean; they really do. We talked about them as we were kind of working through our top eight projections. They do everything well. They play good defense. They hit with runners on base. They pitch it well. And the thing that I have seen, not just the strikeouts, but the pitch efficiency, being able to get under barrels and be able to get manageable ground balls to allow the defense to work. West Virginia made a couple of big errors. It was really a decisive two errors. But I guess Carolina was up 3-2, and then you get a double play ball and you can't handle it. You get another double play ball and you can't handle it. You know, and next thing you know, it's a triple in the gap to right center and two runs score, and they put the game away. And so North Carolina now undefeated in the bracket. West Virginia will have to come back and beat Troy tomorrow. So let's look at today's games. And as we're recording this, Alabama and Texas are playing. That's an elimination game. Texas currently leads 3-1 in the very early going here. Three hits for Texas and just two for Alabama. And wouldn't it be something like if Alabama only scores one run? You know, it would be crazy. The whole time you're in Omaha, you get shut out. You know, and offensively, that's one thing we talked about. Outside of LeBron and I guess – that's a couple other guys I guess you could talk about. But that's just part of the deal, right? I mean, you've got to be able – you can't just pitch it, and the pitching's been better than expected. But Mendoza, who's having a great College World Series for Texas, doubled in a run earlier, and then Rodriguez doubled in another to make it – I guess doubled in two. Yeah, Rodriguez doubled in two to make it 3-0. And then here in the second, Vaughn has an RBI single to get Alabama on the board. So now it's the bottom of second, Texas hitting now. So I'm sure you guys, by the time you listen to this, that game will have gone final. Tonight, it's Georgia and Oklahoma. I'm looking forward to see that. And again, Oklahoma was the number 11 team in the Southeastern Conference. All these people with all of this SEC hate, and everybody celebrating every time an SEC team gets eliminated. We got five teams in the final eight. And we're assured of having one team play for a national championship. Now that Ole Miss has been eliminated, it ensures that we're going to have a non-conference opponent against an SEC opponent. So Georgia tonight against Oklahoma, that should be awfully interesting. And again, Georgia didn't hit the ball all over the yard in Omaha. And so, you know, what does that mean kind of moving forward? You know, what is it about this team? You know, Daniel Jackson, of course, is competing to be the Triple Crown winner in the Southeastern Conference. He now is second behind Lujo when it comes to batting average in the league. And so that's an interesting dynamic too. And some said, hey, I thought it was all regular season. Well, you remember in 16, Jake Mangum was not awarded the batting title until Omaha was over. And it's the same thing for Brent Rooker, his Triple Crown year. It's not over until all the SEC teams are done playing, because anything can happen. Jake had a sizable lead and was able to hang on and get it done. So that's an important aspect of this thing too. And so we'll see it kind of play out. But looking ahead to tomorrow, for those of you that are kind of keeping up, West Virginia and Troy will play elimination game. And then the winner, of course, will advance on to play North Carolina, having to beat them twice. And so that's kind of where those things sit. And of course, the winner of Texas and Alabama will play the loser of the Georgia-Oklahoma game. So whoever wins between OU and Georgia tonight is in the driver's seat. And I think North Carolina would be an interesting matchup for Georgia, just because I know how well coached they are. And there were so many people, again, that really kind of favored Georgia Tech in the ACC, and some Florida State. But North Carolina just kind of quietly went around their business, and South Carolina offered Scott Forbes the job. And all due respect to South Carolina, why would you leave North Carolina to go to South Carolina when you're getting good funding at North Carolina? You don't know what you're going to get at South Carolina. And not to mention, here you are on the cusp of winning the first ever NAFL championship at North Carolina. I don't know why you'd leave for a rebuild. I just don't know if they could compensate me enough to leave something that is great to take over something that is not, without significant compensation. That's how I feel about it. And, of course, you know, South Carolina is incredibly over-leveraged in women's basketball. So, you know, they may make some promises initially, but in the end, they want to continue to contend for NAFL championships in women's basketball. They're going to fully fund women's basketball, much to the expense of baseball. That's just kind of how things lay out. We're seeing some things from Arkansas fans, too, and some people in the Arkansas media, that their rev share for baseball is like less than half of what it is for Mississippi State, Texas, and many others. And a lot of people will tell you on the Mississippi State side, well, you know, we don't have any more than anybody else does. That's just simply not true. That's just not true. Not to mention we have some NIL deals and things of that nature kind of working too. So, yeah, we're fully funding, you know, the Mississippi State baseball experience here. But it's interesting to see the complaints from our competitors out there. And, again, there's so many schools out there that would love to be competitive in baseball, but you just can't be in everything. You know, Skip Johnson, of course, at Oklahoma kind of popped up in our search last year. A lot of people thought, well, maybe the Zach Selman connection. Even though Oklahoma didn't have a great year last year, they played for a national championship in 2022 under Skip Johnson's direction. And I firmly believe that Skip Johnson probably would have left, but I think ideally what he wanted was to stay there and then have the opportunity to get more funding. Well, they're giving him that now. And it's interesting, too, being at Georgia, they're all like, hey, all our money goes into football. We just don't have any money for baseball. They have some, obviously. But I think, again, that just kind of speaks to the level of what's happening in Georgia, that they don't have, you know, a king's ransom to pay out for NIL and rev share. They have some, obviously. But they don't have a fortune like some other people do within our conference. And it's interesting, you know, you saw Virgil Osberry from LSU kind of talking extensively about their baseball rev share. And people were up in arms saying there's no way we're going to be able to compete with Mississippi State and others if we don't change it. And, again, they have a contending women's basketball program under Kim Mulkey. Can you imagine walking in there and telling Kim Mulkey or Don Staley, hey, listen, I know this is what you've had and you're used to having it, but we're going to cut this and going to give more money to baseball. At LSU, you'd almost understand that at South Carolina, there'd be blood in the streets because they have grown accustomed to competing at the highest level of women's basketball. You have to kind of pick and choose what you're going to be good at. Everybody is going to give more money to football and men's basketball, and then everything else is kind of, you know, dealer's choice. What do you like? What do you want to be good at? Because you're not going to be able to fully fund everything. Not even Texas can do that. And you look at Texas back-to-back NAFL championships in softball, and you look at that and say, well, that's going well. And it is. It is. But long-term, you've got to make difficult decisions about how you're going to be stewards of your money. And that's where we find ourselves. And so we are a little more committed to baseball than many others. And hopefully that leads to a new NAFL championship sooner, much rather than later. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, bar none, especially when you're bringing a large group to town, and you should. This is your favorite place on earth. Come celebrate it, maybe when it's not necessarily a game weekend. Hey, if you want a big place to stay, this is where you need to stay when you're coming for football weekend, baseball weekend, basketball weekend, or wherever. How much fun would that be? Yeah, I can tell you from personal experience, it's wonderful. We had a great time just having everybody under one roof. And you know how it is, everybody gets together. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, everybody's spread out in 4 and 5 Airbnbs all over, right? So save some money and spend some quality time with the people you love the most at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will pop up for you. You can peruse the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests, and those pictures don't do it justice, to be honest with you. It's the old renovated country club clubhouse out past the Highlands on 182, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. So conveniently located, you can do your tailgating right there. So incredible. You get the full service kitchen, you get the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area, plenty of parking. 6 bedrooms, 2, soon to be 3 baths, getting it outfitted for football season. So be thinking about that now. Go make your plans. Maybe you got some vacation time to spend. Maybe you're not going to go down to the Redneck Riviera like the rest of us or out to Disney, and you just want to have a staycation of sorts. You can do that and enjoy some of your favorite restaurants and some of the things you love most about Starkville, and everybody be under one roof. It's all that in-between time that matters most. Now, when you do that Google search, some booking options are going to pop up. That's Airbnb, VRBO. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10. Gets you 10% off your stay just by listening to this show. Be sure and check it out today. Okay, some portal news. On the basketball front, Guy Chole has withdrawn from the portal and will return to play at Mississippi State. And, you know, he has been a role player for us, and, you know, hopefully they can get some things going. He's had some major injuries, as you guys are well aware. But a 7-footer from the South Sudan, and again, just kind of a minimal contributor. But, you know, didn't get to play last year. But played in about 15, 16 games a year, averaging about 5 minutes a game. But, you know, maybe we can get some value out of him. And I just kind of wondered what he thought his stock would be on the road, in the portal, without having much film to kind of work with. But he will be back, another piece for Chris Jans to kind of work with. Again, sometimes you need a rebounder and a shot blocker, and hopefully he will elevate his game to a point that he is a very solid contributor for Mississippi State. Pitcher Tyler Pitzer, one that we were not hoping for, has elected to enter the NCAA transfer portal from Mississippi State Baseball. We had kind of reached a point where we had a couple guys that were looking to make decisions. Tyler Pitzer, obviously, looking for greener pastures and more innings. You know, that's the main thing that happens when these guys, they all have Major League Baseball aspirations, if I can get it out. That's what I get for trying to combine two sports in one segment. But, you know, had an 8-1 record in 2 seasons at South Carolina, went 2-3 this year, and, of course, he was the losing pitcher in our final game, and I hated that for him because he had done really well for us down the stretch. He goes 2-3 with a 3.90 ERA, made 22 appearances for State with 2 starts, went 30 innings, allowed 21 hits, 13 earned runs, and had 38 strikeouts to 16 walks, allowed just 1 home run this year and just 1 wild pitch. You may recall he was the Cape Cod Pitcher of the Year last year. Again, had some success at State, but perhaps maybe not what some had anticipated, but he has now entered the portal, and you never know where he may end up. But again, you know, 22 appearances, that's a lot of relief appearances. But you know, if he gets a chance to start somewhere else, I'm sure that he would prefer to do that. That may be at a lower level or that we currently play at. But we wish Tyler the best and appreciate his contributions to Mississippi State baseball. A name that we're tracking is Will McGinnis from Georgia State. You guys are somewhat familiar with him. He is expected to announce a decision very soon. Would be a third baseman should he come here. He was scheduled to visit LSU over the weekend and then canceled that visit. But again, kind of looking at some numbers with him, you know, he's not Ace Reese, but he is a quality hitter for sure. 306 last year, hit 8 bombs, 42 home runs, and led them or was among the leaders in so many statistical categories, and then 21 of 24 when it came to stolen bases. So again, we're adding and hope to be adding him. We're adding some athleticism and some guys that can take extra 90s. We worried a little bit last year about not being able to take that free 90. And we were among the bottom half of the league when it came to stolen bases. So we've got to get more athletic, got to get more explosive. Carter White is a player that played at the same high school as Nick Frontino and Ryder Woodson. He is in the portal. He is a center fielder from North Florida and is a redshirt sophomore, so he would be draft eligible. But we don't think that he is going to curry that kind of favor with MLB scouts this year, especially after playing in North Florida last year. But what's interesting is that, you know, just kind of taking a look here, and again, I think he is a player, if he elected to come, that we would take him. He had 302 last year with 11 jacks and then 51 RBI. So he was a run producer for them, led them in RBI, and was second on the team in home runs. And they only hit 51 bombs as a club. And kind of sticking with that theme of trying to get, you know, more athletic, he kind of fits that mold. 8 of 9 in stolen bases, so not exactly Vince Coleman, but a guy that can go grab a bag for you, would be a nice addition as we kind of work through these things. But that's an important aspect of this. We do expect him to visit sooner rather than later, and we do expect McGinnis to announce at some point soon too. And Mississippi State, again, expected to take around between 10 and a dozen players, 10, 11, maybe 12 at the most, depending on who wants to come. That's what Brian O'Connor and the staff are working through. And so we will hit double-digit visitors at some point this week. And we're excited about that. You know, I'm excited to get it done, right? I'm excited to get the portal class done. And then we wait out the draft, which will come next month. We're under a month away from the Major League Baseball draft. And we do have some draft-eligible players that we are chasing in the portal. But we also have some guys from the high school ranks that are signed with us that are getting some calls and expected to get some calls. And we'll lose a couple of guys. Brian O'Connor is one of the toughest signs in all of Major League Baseball, and everybody knows it. That's how you get Jack Bauer. You know, Jacob Parker was going to come probably regardless, but that worked out well for us. And so, again, I don't think a lot of people that look at these mock drafts fully appreciate that Brian O'Connor is going to do a great job getting many of those guys to campus. And that's a difficult undertaking at times, but he has been one of the best in college baseball because he basically tells people and their families, you get to decide how you want to spend the next few years of your life. Do you want to sign at a high school and then be stuck in rookie ball or A ball for a while? Or do you want to come to college, be around friends, family, have a family environment, and then probably get to double A lot quicker because you've done it on the next level, on the college level? So he's had a lot of success kind of selling that vision to young people. And then if you look at their track record, the players from Virginia that were drafted, you know, their ascension up the minor league ranks has probably outpaced so many others. And so it's not just a promise. You've got the production that you can kind of lean upon as well. That's an important aspect of this. And again, we're tracking all this stuff. And, you know, what's true today is not true tomorrow, right? It's like there are guys, oh, we're filling this, and then a new opportunity comes along, or maybe the rev share is better somewhere else, and there's a lot of people that don't want to be involved in, you know, negotiation type stuff. They just want to get a deal done and get finished. And but, you know, again, when it comes to Duty Noble Field and when it comes to our fan support, it is difficult to quantify how valuable that is. But nobody's going to come here just because of that. If we're only offering the chance to play in the greatest cathedral in the history of college baseball in front of the greatest fan base in the country, that's not going to be enough to overcome maybe LSU offering a kid $100,000. It's not going to work, right? And so we've got to be aggressive on the business side too. Where Duty Noble and you guys come in to factor is it's kind of a tiebreaker. When the money is close or the money is even, it makes it an easier situation because you can say you're going to play at a place where baseball matters. You're going to play meaningful baseball games in front of a very passionate fan base, and it's going to prepare you to play professional baseball. There are a lot of people out there that may just go take the best deal possible and then not get the return on that investment from that program. You know, there's a lot of teams out there, obviously, that that have some issues, but you know, you got a lot of area scouts that are, you know, working those schools to ensure that they find the best players possible for their drafting models. But, you know, to do it at Mississippi State, to do it at Arkansas, to do it at LSU, do places like that, Florida, it proves that these guys are more polished and ready for pro baseball. And that's something that I think matters. And having agents and advisors involved in their lives is a great thing, too. I don't know if you kept up with this Brendan Sorsby thing. It's absolute insanity what's happening. And I think we're brewing for kind of a nuclear war of sorts, a nuclear war of words. You know, the Texas Attorney General comes out and tells the Big 12, hey, don't even think about sanctioning Texas Tech. If you do, we'll take you to court. Well, now you've got AGs from several other states, including Kansas and Utah and others, that are stepping in. They're like, hey, you know, we're equipped with law degrees too, and we are absolutely going to help protect the Big 12. And so you've kind of got a situation where people probably at Texas Tech feel like they're being colluded against. And I understand that aspect of it. But the reality of it is you had a player that was ruled ineligible due to malfeasance. And again, a lot of people are trying to bring the Trinidad Champus thing up. They're only similar because they went to court. The Trinidad thing had a medical issue. No matter how flimsy that was, Trinidad Chambliss did not knowingly break the rules. Brendan Sorsby did. And so Texas Tech is kind of digging in their heels saying, hey, we'll just go to court. And now the rest of the conference is saying, hey, we're going to impose sanctions. And now there's been a lawsuit filed on behalf of the Big 12 to kind of see what their legal options are and what kind of protections they have should they ban Texas Tech from the Big 12 championship. And I wonder how the NCAA is going to come down in this thing. Does Texas Tech get ruled ineligible for the FBS playoff? Because the NCAA ruled Brendan Sorsby ineligible. It was a court system that said, no, we're going to file for TRO and he's going to play. And we intend to play him in these games. And so the NCAA rules have been broken. What still exists. And one of the things that everybody can agree upon is gambling has never been acceptable in college baseball or football or basketball up since the infancy of it all, right? You know, back in the early 1900s, you know, players would bet on games or whatever. It's a different dynamic these days. And it's so much more difficult to track because of all the online gaming options that are available. But I think across the board, people would say, yes, this is improper, unless you're Texas Tech. And again, it goes all the way back to what Brandon Walker said last week, and I agree with Brandon 100%. Everybody wants guardrails unless it's their team that's being negatively impacted. So that's something that we're kind of tracking and monitoring, and it's just absolutely incredible to see how things have gone. And just I'm looking this up as we talk here. But Kansas, Oklahoma, and Utah have now filed support for the Big 12 in support of sanctions for Texas Tech. We've talked about these linchpin-type cases. This is one of them. This is one of those. And many of you are too young to remember the Jeremy Bloom case. He was a Colorado football player, but was also a professional snowboarder. And he was unable to make money at the X Games. It used to be a real big thing. They said it violated his amateurism status. Well, that's changed a lot since then. But that case, in many respects, kind of was the precursor for what now we know as NIL compensation. It's pretty crazy when you think about it. It goes back that far. That's when the conversation really got started. And people were like, hey, this is not right. They should be able to make money and be compensated for their skills outside of an NCAA-mandated sport. And it was absurd. It was absolutely absurd that they ruled Jeremy Bloom ineligible. That's what kind of got the ball rolling. And it's taken forever to get here, but now here we are. And now you have a situation here where you have a player that was compensated to make the transfer to help Texas Tech reach the FBS playoffs. And now, if they don't get to play in the Big 12 championship game, you got to think that would negatively impact them. Now, the flip side of that is, if I'm the NCAA, I don't know that I have to make a comment on this until after all the legal proceedings are done, because you could kind of quietly exclude Texas Tech. You don't have to go out there and make a public declaration and wind up in court yourself. But it's just, to me, absurd that the NCAA can't enforce its own rules when it comes to eligibility of a player that knowingly broke the rules. The Jeremy Bloom thing obviously had some gray area. It did. The same thing for the Trinidad Chamblets. There's some gray area there. And again, I think that was, you know, some home court advantage for Ole Miss. But no matter what you think about those two cases, the Sorsby thing is a horse of a different color. And now we're seeing people kind of stand up. And this is the one thing that I think eventually the courts will have to decide all of this, obviously, because these cases have been filed. But now you've got your entire conference working against you. And that's one of those things you wonder about. Does that lead to torturous interference? You know, there's a lot of chapters in this thing that are left to be written. But I think one of the things that's important here is when you have a player knowingly break the rules and then you go out of your way to ensure that this particular player gets to play because he gives you a competitive advantage, I think we can all agree that that's improper. And just kind of give you an update, too, on the college baseball thing. Texas now up 7-1 in the fourth inning, kind of beginning to run away with this thing. But as Ole Miss showed you yesterday, no lead is safe in Omaha. But Alabama offensively still struggling against Texas. And that's Riojas pitching today for Texas. I also did not want to leave today without mentioning the tragedy in Senatobia. If you're unfamiliar with this, there was a police-involved shooting where a one-year-old were struck and killed. And the facts about this are still coming out, so I would encourage people not to rush to judgment on either side. We're already seeing all the tribalism already. But at the core of it all, a young innocent child is dead today. No matter who is at fault, someone is at fault. And some people want to blame the police. Of course, the argument is that there was a shoplifting situation, that Walmart had called the police due to a shoplifting allegation. Don't know if that's true or not. This is what's being reported. And that the driver of the vehicle, not the mother of the child, she was not the driver from what I've read online. And I don't know if she was holding her child or he was in a car seat. I don't know any of those details. But a police officer shot into the vehicle after supposedly the vehicle was driving erratically. There are some people that say it hit other cars. Some people say it didn't. But people claim to have video that I have not seen that the driver of the vehicle drove at the police officer. So no matter what side you come down on, we've got a tragedy on our hands. And it's so incredibly unnecessary. So unnecessary. And that's what kind of breaks my heart about the whole thing. This beautiful one-year-old child just goes to the store and never makes it home. And yes, there's a lot of people that can be at fault here. There's a lot of things that could be handled better. And I'm not going to sit here and cast blame or assign motive to anybody. But we need to let the rest of these facts come out in this case. But at the heart of it all, my thoughts and prayers are with the people that love that child. And no police officer, I say no, I mean, I'm speculating here. No police officer wants to kill a child. And I know every police officer, their goal is to get home safely to their families. But this is a child that'll never go home again. And so I'm eager to see the rest of the facts in this case come out. And there's a lot of fiery rhetoric out there on social media, as there always tends to be. But even if these people shoplifted, and I don't know they did, I don't know they didn't. There was a complaint. I don't know if it's the same people or not. The child didn't shoplift anything. the child wasn't driving the vehicle. Those are the things that I think about. You know, the rest of it, hey, when adults do stupid stuff, they got to be held accountable. This is an innocent child that didn't ask for any of this. And it's a tragedy within our state. And so my prayers are for everybody involved, but specifically the people that are having to bury this child. And again, it's just like so many other things in life, that there are no winners here. And everybody wants to just jump on a side and point fingers and stuff. And there are plenty of fingers to be pointed in this situation. And if what is being reported is true, everybody is at fault. Everybody, in some respects. And I know I'll get some messages about this. I'm in no way being disrespectful. I'm just trying to keep the focus on what it should be on, and that's the death of this child. I'm not picking a side. I don't know who's right. I don't know who's wrong. But I know that a young child is dead that did nothing wrong. If you haven't done so, go to DirtyNobleBook.com. You get signed copies of all my sports titles. That's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dogpile, and The Dude, along with the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. Everything ordered through the website is signed. And come float with us at True West Float Spa of Starkville. Dial 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my lovely wife, Dana. She can answer any questions you have about floating. Gets you scheduled. You know, it's all great. And saw an old music friend yesterday. Went up there and meet with him, and glad to see he's floating. It's interesting, too. We had a lady come in about a month ago, and she had what's called frozen shoulder. I don't know if you're familiar with that, where you just kind of lose all range of motion. I didn't know a lot about it. And so she came to float to see if it would help her. Well, then after her first float, she was able to move her shoulder a little bit. And then she came in one day this weekend after her second float, and she has full range of motion in the shoulder. You know what? We've helped her. Maybe we can help you too. Come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. And then again, today is the last day of the 60% off special. You have until 11:59 Eastern. So 11 o'clock Central here on June the 15th to sign up and get 60% off the annual subscription price at jeanspage.com. Come join us. The best place to get the most comprehensive coverage of Mississippi State athletics in the history of Al Gore's internet. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.